Police Academy is your source for the no apologies, no spin truth about all things police. Discussions about why cops do what they do, avoiding speeding tickets, or just how to stay alive can all be found right here. No questions out of bounds, no topic too sensitive. This is Police Academy. Do you understand
the words that are coming out of my mouth? What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoking the reefer.
Call the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, that's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. We had a bye week last week, and I know that may have some of you a little worried that, maybe the show is going away. I did kind of foreshadow this ahead of time. If you missed that episode, there are a few things going on in my life. I actually just started a new company and have been working really hard in getting that off the ground, so it's taken a lot of my time and focus, which is why I didn't have an episode last week. But I got one ready for this week, and we're going to talk about some really important things and hopefully eye-opening things regarding firearms. But I just want to let you guys know and reassure you that we're not going anywhere at Police Academy. I am still here to answer questions and provide insight into the realm of law enforcement. So no worries. We're still here. That said, today's episode is about and somewhat of a response to a listener email. Now, I responded to the email directly, but I think it's something that the entire audience can really benefit from. If you're looking to get into law enforcement, and especially if you're not proficient or even less so familiar with firearms, this is a really great discussion to have. And if you're not looking to get in law enforcement, I've had these conversations with so many people from the civilian side who don't understand guns, don't like them, and, you know, they have opinions, often very strong ones, from that perspective. And that's totally fine. I don't hold it against people when their opinion differs from mine. But what people really need to understand is, oftentimes your opinions are based out of ignorance and fear, to be honest, and that is never a good thing. So hopefully this conversation will clear some of that up for maybe some of you who are in that position of don't like guns, don't want to have anything to do with them, they're scary, they're dangerous, we don't need them, let's get rid of them. I'm not making a pro-gun argument, we're not going to get into politics here. That is for another time and place. And to be honest, from the very beginning, I'll say, you know, if we could live in a world without things like firearms, great. That would save lots of lives. Fortunately, that's not even a potential option at this point, especially in the United States. It just isn't a possible reality for us. It's like saying, hey, let's go back to a world without nuclear weapons. It's never going to happen, at least not by human choice and decisions. It's never going to happen. The United States will never get rid of their nuclear weapons. Neither will Russia, neither will Britain or North Korea. It's just never going to happen. Once you have a tool as powerful as a nuclear weapon, or in this case, a firearm, it's really important for your survival and the survival of you and your people and your country that you maintain that power. So I just want to be upfront about the fact that this is not an argument for or against the right to bear arms, anything like that. We just have to realize that guns are a part of life in America especially, and that is not going to change. So given that plot line, you know, we've kind of set the stage for this conversation. Given that, we need to talk about, okay, what does that mean? Well, if you're someone who is not familiar with guns, doesn't like them, they scare you, anything like that, well, it might be worth considering the fact that they're not going away. And maybe the best course of action is to shore up those deficiencies in your understanding, to become familiar and maybe even proficient with firearms, so that this thing that you have to live with, you don't have a choice, isn't something to be feared anymore. Okay, I know that was a long intro, but I really think it's important that I'm clear on where we're headed with this, because if you get the wrong perception and tune out because you think I'm going a certain direction or I'm making a political argument, anything like that, you're not going to get anything out of this, and it's a really important discussion. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. Let me know what you think on the flip side. You can write me an email at policeacademypodcast@gmail.com, or I would love to hear your review. Just go to iTunes and you can review the show there. Enjoy. All right, let's talk about guns. I'll start by saying I am not a what many people call gun nut. I do enjoy guns. I grew up hunting and I enjoy shooting. It's natural for me. I'm pretty decent at it, even though I don't shoot as much as I probably should. But I'm not a gun nut. I don't have 50 different assault rifles in a safe at home. I mean, I do have plenty of guns, but they all serve a purpose. They have utility. It's not like I spend a lot of money buying guns all the time like a lot of people do. And I think there's a common misperception out there that all cops are gun nuts or even good with a firearm. And anyone in law enforcement is laughing right now because that is not at all true. I have seen so many officers that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if their life depended on it, and especially if their life depended on it and they're under that stress. So not all cops are good shots. Most cops aren't gun nuts, and it's just another tool that really they have to have to do their job in the United States, at least. So I'm not a gun nut, and I'm not making, again, any sort of political argument here. I want to talk about this email that I got from a listener. So this listener wrote in and said, you know, hey, I want to get into law enforcement. I've been listening to the podcast as I've been working out, trying to get into shape. You know, I hear that a lot. You guys are building your knowledge base and learning as you prepare for the hiring process. Really smart, two birds, one stone. Awesome. Love to hear that. Get into shape and learn the ropes before you jump into this. Great idea. Now, this person then goes on to say, I've never shot a gun before. So I went to the range with, you know, someone who had a little bit of experience, could kind of guide me in the right direction, at least help me not shoot myself on accident, that kind of thing. And this person writes that they only got two rounds off before they had to stop completely. And, you know, they're not sure exactly what happened, but they became really embarrassed, even started crying, right? So there's a very strong emotional response for whatever reason, you know. And I asked, hey, is there anything in your history, you know, growing up that you had a bad experience? Were you taught anything in particular about guns that may have triggered this kind of really strong emotional response to just firing a gun? And the answers were no. There's nothing there that I know of. Have no idea why this happened. And they go on to say, you know, I really want to get into law enforcement, but I have to make sure that I can make that decision to fire a gun at another person. And ultimately that gets to this decision to take another person's life, right? That is a part of what police officers are sworn to do, given the correct circumstances. If it comes down to it's either this person's life or they're going to kill another innocent civilian, another police officer, or me, you have to be able to make that decision. And I've said this many times before, I'll say it now, and certainly I will in the future, but being a cop, getting into law enforcement is not for everybody. It takes a special person, and this is one of many reasons why. You have a very, very important responsibility when it comes to deadly force. You know, people throw out these statistics about how often police officers shoot people, and in reality, it's not very much, but people that are anti-gun or anti-police try to make it seem like cops shoot people all the time. Well, the reality is that they're forced into, they have a duty to interject themselves into situations where they are likely to end up in a deadly force situation and therefore have to use deadly force. I've talked about that before, but people just need to understand it's not the same thing as being a civilian and using self-defense. A lot of the same rules apply, but a civilian has a duty to retreat. A police officer has a duty to protect anyone on the scene at all costs. So if you're getting into law enforcement, you have to make sure that you're ready to do that. And it shouldn't be just a, I think I could do that. You really need to put some contemplative thought into this. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. But this is not something to take lightly. You really need to seriously consider it, because your knee-jerk reaction might be, yeah, sure, no big deal. But when it comes down to it, that might not be your reaction in real life when it comes time to pull the trigger. So you really got to sit down with that and work through the logistics in your mind. It's easy for me to say because I'm a very logical thinking person. I can line up, you know, the pros and cons, the, okay, killing is bad, but, you know, protecting an innocent person from being killed by someone who doesn't have a right to take their life is, you know, a justifiable homicide. I mean, the law supports that argument, right? That's why cops and why civilians can use deadly force and not go to prison for the rest of their life, because, hey, if it's bad guy or that little kid that's going to die, let's have it be the bad guy who's violating the little kid's right to live, right? Okay, so you really got to work through that in your mind. Now, this email I got, you know, I'm asking, okay, what was the environment like when you went to the range? Well, it turns out, as I suspected, that this person was at an indoor range. And if you're familiar with ranges, indoor ranges are very loud. Now, if you're familiar with ranges and outdoor ranges, indoor ranges, and the difference, you know that standing up outside shooting, say, like a 9mm is like shooting a cap gun. It's just small pops. Even an AR-15 isn't really that loud when you're standing up and you're in an outdoor environment where you don't have the reverberation that you get when, say, you're laying down. That makes a huge difference. Or you're shooting from cover, especially close to the ground. You know, that concussion gets reflected back at you, and it is a night and day difference. It goes from feeling like you're shooting a cap gun to feeling like you're shooting a cannon. You go to an indoor range, and it's just like that. You've got walls on both sides of you, you know, a platform to put your stuff on, like a shelf in front of you. It's very enclosed, and the concussion from your gun, let alone people who are shooting around you, is much more powerful, you know, many multiples compared to what it's like outside. So I kind of suspected that, and it was confirmed in the response to this email. Yes, it was an indoor range. It was really hot. Some guy's shooting an AK-47, which is really loud when you're at one of these ranges. And, you know, they write, all that I could think about was how someone could look down the barrel of a gun and pull the trigger. And they go on to say that they take shooting and handling a gun really seriously because you know, to them, it's a huge responsibility, and it should be. It should never be taken as a lighthearted, casual endeavor when you're dealing with firearms. They are an extremely powerful tool. And, you know, just as I don't think getting a driver's license and maintaining that driver's license should be a casual endeavor, because a vehicle is a weapon and people die daily because they make mistakes and they screw up and oftentimes aren't properly trained and are not proficient with that weapon being the vehicle. And the same goes for firearms. You cannot take it lightly. But there's a really important distinction there. Being familiar and then continuing on to proficiency with firearms does not mean that you're comfortable or casual or complacent. Comfortable, maybe. Being comfortable with a gun is not a bad thing. When you become complacent and lackadaisical and you start violating the rules of gun safety, there are four rules to gun safety. You start getting lax on those rules, that is when it becomes a bad thing. And you always have to make sure that you're staying vigilant in that area. Okay, so my response to this email, this person, you know, going, I want to be in law enforcement, but I went to the range. I didn't get off two rounds before. I'm shaking. I'm crying. I have no idea what happened. What do I do? How do I deal with this? If I really want to be in law enforcement, how do I get through this? And this was my response. And I'm going to kind of go through the six things I may add to it. I don't know that I responded to this email with. Because again, I think it's a response, a conversation that is worth having with all of you. So first, courage cannot exist in the absence of fear. Fear is a prerequisite. Sound like Elmer Fudd. Fear is a prerequisite for courage. If you want to be a police officer, courage is required. There's no question about that. If you don't have courage, meaning if you can't go towards something you are afraid of and face it head on, don't become a police officer. Don't be deceived into thinking that cops run into the situations they do because they're not afraid. They have courage. Many of them won't admit that they're afraid at times. You know, there's this machoism there, and yeah, okay, that's another topic for another day, but there is fear. If they're being honest with themselves, any police officer will tell you that they have been afraid. And the only reason they were able to continue to do their job and they survived and they succeeded and they overcame is because of courage. They faced that fear. They had to deal with it. So this is a great opportunity for this listener to prove that they have courage. You know, one of their responses was, I'm afraid to go back to the range because what if it happens again? Well, you have to face that fear. It doesn't matter what happens. If you want to be a police officer, you have to go back to the range. But before you do that, you need to settle the two following points, which will be point two and three. So point number two in this six-point series here is being proficient with guns doesn't mean you have to be easygoing. I've talked about this already. It just means that you're confident in your abilities. Guns are much harder to fear once you understand them. You know, if you don't really get how a gun works and how they can kill you and how you can make sure that they don't, then yeah, I'd be afraid too. But once you really understand them at, you know, a really fundamental level and a familiar level, you've handled them, you get the mechanics of them, they're much harder to fear. That's point number one. So if you do fear guns, if they're something that really causes an emotional push back for you, you need to become familiar with them. And that's not a hard thing to do. Find someone who is familiar with guns, tell them your situation, get one that's unloaded and with someone who's supervising you, and feel them out. Find out how they work. Get some dummy rounds and see how the mechanics of the gun works. And then if you feel comfortable and want to, you can go to a range and actually shoot some guns and really kind of face those fears and ultimately conquer them, I think, because once you've done it, it's really not that big of a deal, as long as you know what you're doing and you understand how to be responsible with them. So point number two, being proficient doesn't mean you have to be easygoing or lackadaisical. Number three, sit with the idea of killing another human being. And this is very specific to this individual's issue. I want to be a cop. I don't know if I can pull the trigger. You must, again, I touched on this earlier, you must sit with this concept of taking and ending another person's life. You know, I've talked about the value of life in the past. And I've had some pushback from some listeners. One was a veteran police officer who says, I disagree with your concept of the value of a human life, because I was saying every human life is equally valuable. And this veteran officer is saying, your value is determined by your path in life and the value you create by the choices that you make and the things that you do throughout your life, right? We're talking about two different things. One is the inherent value of a human being. It's kind of called universalism, right? Every human being is valuable. We all have a very similar human experience, and there's a value to just our inherent being. Then we can also produce value by the way that we live our lives. You know, this gets into a societal discussion. You know, are you contributing to society? Are you a good person? Are you helping others? Or are you being a leech on society, right? There are two different kind of metrics of value. So what I'm saying is that every human being does have value, and taking that human being's life is something that can and should be hard to do. Unfortunately, some people make decisions that devalue their own lives. Michael Brown was an example of that. When he attacked a police officer for no reason and tried to kill that officer, he devalued his life and gave that officer the legal justification, moral justification for ending his own life, as tragic and terrible as that is. So you need to sit with this idea, mull it over, and work through the logic in your own way to figure out if you can pull the trigger. You'd be very hard-pressed to find a police officer who looks forward to taking another human being's life. Unfortunately, there are some really messed up people in this world, and police officers are all too familiar with many of them. And those people are willing to do all kinds of terrible things given the chance. The question is, can you stop them? And if you can't, that's okay. It's just not the job for you. Pick another profession. That sounds harsh, but that's the reality of it. This is a pass or fail part of the process. If you can't settle this in your mind, pick another profession. And it doesn't say anything about your value or your usefulness or how good or bad of a person you are. Elon Musk probably would make a terrible police officer, but he makes a great visionary and entrepreneur. I would love to have a Tesla car. If you're not familiar, Elon Musk is the guy who created that business. They wouldn't be here without him. Not okay. He might not be able to be a police officer. Maybe he could, but just for the sake of argument, say he can't pull the trigger, right? He can't bring himself to do that. Well, he has a different purpose in life. And I'm not here to kind of get into this philosophical discussion, but I do believe that we all have a purpose or multiple purposes that suit the abilities that we've been given. And again, law enforcement isn't for everyone. It may not fit the abilities that you have, and there may be a much greater impact and purpose that you can have with your life doing something completely unrelated to law enforcement. The things that attract people into law enforcement are not the things that you actually do as a police officer usually. And that was true for me. I did end up enjoying the career despite that, but what I thought the job would be was not what it was. Ultimately, what I'm getting at here is, hey, it's okay if it's not for you. No big deal. Doesn't mean that you're weak or not good enough. It's just not the profession for you. All right, so I think we've belabored that point enough, but again, what my response was, before you go shooting again, and this is something that if you're having trouble with this idea of taking someone's life, you need to recognize these two things. Being proficient doesn't mean that you're careless or lackadaisical, and you have to work out the logic in your own way when it comes to taking another human being's life. So those are the two things you got to do first and foremost, even before you go to the range. And, you know, if you can't fully settle it, going to the range might actually help, because it might help you understand, okay, this gun thing isn't to be feared. So point number four, when you do shoot again, specific to this listener's issue, go somewhere a little bit more private and preferably an outdoor range for the reasons I mentioned before. It reduces that concussion. It's so much less dramatic and so much less intimidating. When I say concussion, I'm talking about the shockwave that is created when the cartridge explodes, the round exits the gun, and it creates a shockwave similar to a bomb going off, you know, a significant distance away. You might not be in danger, but the shockwave is still something that you feel at your core. And that can be really intimidating. So I would recommend going to an outdoor range where you're not going to feel that nearly as much, if at all. Whereas an indoor range, you're really going to feel that. It messes with your head for some people. It's a strange feeling. It's not like getting hit in the chest. It's like your chest is vibrating from within. So go to an outdoor range, and preferably one that isn't full of people shooting all kinds of big guns and stuff. If you can get alone with someone who knows what they're doing on a range outside, that's ideal. Point number five, use a gun that suits you. If you're starting out, if you're just trying to kind of dip your toes in the water, don't go out with a gun that doesn't fit your hands and is of a caliber that is going to knock you over. Don't go out and shoot a 50 cal Desert Eagle. You're just going to eat the front sight with your forehead. Not a good idea. Go out with a 22 caliber pistol, something smaller even than a 9mm. You know, when it comes to actual proficiency of a round and the lethality of a round, I typically recommend 9mm. I'm not a ballistics expert. It's just based on the research I've done and what law enforcement and federal enforcement agencies prefer. 9mm is a good round. I wouldn't go below that. But starting out, find something small, a 22 caliber, something similar to that. Not a lot of recoil, very minimal recoil. It'll get you started, and there's just less pressure, less drama, less of that concussion. It really will help you get familiar with the idea and the mechanics of firing and working with a gun without all the drama. So use a gun that fits you, and don't go to a big caliber starting out. Start small. Number six, this is the last point that I wrote back, was when you're on the range, you know, this person was having an issue with the thoughts in their head. All they could think about was looking down the barrel of a gun at another human being and pulling the trigger. Don't think about that when you're at the range. You should have already thought about that before you went to the range and worked through that mentally ahead of time. When you're at the range, you're only there. You're not there to kill somebody. You're there to get better at a skill. In this case, a skill that is required to be able to be a police officer. You're there to get better at a skill. That's it. It's just a tool and a skill you have to be able to protect the society, the communities, the people there that you are sworn to protect. So don't be thinking about what it's going to be like when you have to pump a few rounds into somebody's chest that's coming at you with a knife or about to kill their husband or wife or whatever it is. Don't be thinking about that. Now, that's not a bad thing to do the mental rehearsal later on the range when you're comfortable with a firearm. But starting out, you should be focusing on just learning the skill. Focus on a smooth, slow trigger pull, you know, slowly adding pressure to the trigger. And I mean slow. When you start out, your trigger pulls should take 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds, as long as it takes to add just a little bit more pressure, a little bit more pressure until the gun goes off on its own. That's called trigger control. It will teach you that. So very slow, easy trigger pulls. Focus on your front sight. Make sure that front sight is clear. The back sights are blurry. You've got them lined up. You're able to put rounds very close to each other or within the same hole from, you know, 3 feet away starting out. You should be focusing on those things, getting yourself comfortable with the gun. Don't go out there and start doing quick draws, you know, like you're in an old Western dueling with John Wayne. Okay, don't do that. Just take your time. Get used to the feel of the recoil, the feel of the trigger, being patient with the gun, being patient with the trigger. Those are really important things to get right starting out. And again, you have to go with someone who knows what they're doing and can guide you on that. Okay, so those are the points that I responded to this email with. I'm going to talk about a few things here afterwards. And the first thing I'll say is, when it comes to who you are taking advice from and who you're going to the range with, be careful. And I know it's hard when you don't know what you're doing to tell if that person does, but be very wary of the overzealous gun nut type personalities because they may guide you in the wrong direction. If you feel like the person's a cowboy or a cowgirl and they're a little bit crazy with it, you might want to find someone who is taking it a little bit more seriously, or especially someone who does have professional training, law enforcement training, who, you know, has had proper guidance in the proper ways to use a gun and operate that tool. Because there are a lot of wrong ways to do it and a few correct ways. There's not just one correct way, but there are a few, and you want to make sure that you have someone who's guiding you that isn't leading you astray. One great way to weed people out or tell if they are a good person to learn from is, you know, and this doesn't work unless you're actually on the range, but if they're violating any of the four rules to firearm safety, then they're probably not a very good teacher because they're not practicing what they should be teaching. And those are: finger off the trigger and on frame unless you're ready to shoot. You're ready to destroy whatever target you're shooting at. Know your target, the backstop, and beyond. That's number two. Every gun is always loaded. That's number three. You just assume that every gun is always loaded, even if you know that you know that you know it's not. Number four, never let the muzzle, the barrel, don't ever point the gun at something or someone that you're not willing to destroy. Unless you're intentionally pointing it at a thing that you plan on shooting, you shouldn't be pointing your gun at it. We call that lasering. If you had a laser that came out of the barrel, you know, along the path that the bullet would take, if that laser touches a person or something that you don't want to shoot, right? So it's not the ground. It's not the backstop. It's not your target. That's a bad thing. You're violating a rule of the four rules to gun safety. So those four rules, if you see the person that's teaching you violating those, you might want to find a new teacher. They're not taking it seriously. Maybe they don't know the rules. And if they don't, find somebody else. There are plenty of people that love and are looking for an excuse to go to the range. They would love to teach you. So seek them out. Now, I hope that discussion was helpful for anyone looking to get into law enforcement. Now I want to speak to the civilian side. You might not be interested in law enforcement. Maybe you are, but you're not sure. Whatever the case may be. I want to really reiterate this idea that comfort, familiarity, and proficiency, now proficiency is a much higher level, right? And you shouldn't be comfortable with firearms until you're proficient. If you become comfortable before that point, then you're probably a little bit complacent and, you know, overconfident. And that's not a good thing. Proficiency means that not only do you understand the mechanics, not only are you, you know, able to operate the weapon, but you are good and fluid with it. You have muscle memory built up. You don't have to think about how to do the things that you need to do to be a good shot and to do things safely. You're proficient. It's second nature. Those things don't mean that, again, I talked about this at the beginning, but this is something that people just can't wrap their heads around a lot of times. You know, they hate the idea of guns being in a person's house. You know, I get that. I hate the idea of one of my kids getting hold of one of my guns, knocking on wood right now, and something bad happening. That is one of the fears I have as a parent. I hate that idea. And I make sure that that can't happen by putting fail-safes in place and making sure that they can't get to my weapons when they're at home, right? Or when we're out traveling. I'm always armed when I'm with my family, usually when I'm alone. So that gun's always there. It's always an armed party call. That's another thing you'll learn if you get into law enforcement. Every call is an armed party call. Even if no one there has a gun, you do. And you may have to use it, or someone might try to take it and use it against you. So you have to treat every call as if it's an armed party. If you're off duty or you're a civilian and you're carrying, same goes for that. There's a gun on scene, even if it's only yours. In the wrong hands, that's a really bad thing. Whether it's the hands of your kids or the hands of, you know, an assailant. So just understand, I totally get the very powerful emotional response to guns, especially if you didn't grow up with them, you're not familiar with them. I can sympathize with that 100%. I would encourage you, if that is you, don't let that, to be honest, it's an irrational fear. There is rationality to it. Yes, a gun can kill you. But the gun itself, again, this is something that the pro-gun lobby, you know, says all the time. Guns don't kill people. People do. I'm not here to make it political, but that is true. Guns don't kill people. It's the people wielding that tool, that weapon, that cause that weapon to kill other people, right? So in the right hands, in capable hands, and now those can be yours should you choose, a gun is no more dangerous than the car in your garage or in your driveway. So I'd encourage you, if you do have that emotional pushback when we start talking about guns, maybe consider becoming familiar with them so that you are educated. And if in the end you say, I never want to touch a gun again, fine. That's totally fine. But at least it's an educated opinion. At least it's not based out of ignorance. And speaking of ignorance, there are two ways it'll get you killed. Number one, being around a gun and handling a gun when you don't know what you're doing. And number two, not being able to utilize that tool in your own defense or the defense of your family when someone else threatens you or their lives, right? So the reality is, again, going back to what I talked about at the beginning, we will never get rid of firearms in this country as far as I can see in the future. I don't think it'll ever happen. Again, we'll never get rid of nukes. We'll never get rid of weapons of mass destruction if it's up to us, the human race. We'll never get rid of evil, bad things. They will always happen, and we'll never get rid of guns. So the other way that ignorance can kill you is being ignorant to the fact that they are all around you pretty much all the time. You go out in public for more than 10 minutes, you know, you're around a decent amount of people, walking past them, sitting in a restaurant, driving to work. There are guns around you. Fortunately, most of them are in the hands of good law-abiding people who only have them to protect you and themselves and their families. Unfortunately, there are some people who have them and want to do the opposite. That is the reality that you cannot remain ignorant to, and do with it what you want. If it means that you choose to prepare yourself for that unfortunate day that someone does try to take advantage of you, does try to take your life, or worse, I think there are many worse things than just killing someone that you can do to them. Should that happen to you, you know, are you going to choose to prepare for that or not? So that's the second level of ignorance. And don't be offended. I'm probably using the wrong word. Language is important. If I offend you, you're not going to listen, right? I'm not. When I use the word ignorance, I'm saying simply, you know, by definition, it just means that you are not fully informed on a particular issue. Okay. I'm not saying that you're an ignoramus, you're stupid, anything like that. It's just the reality that you haven't really dug into and familiarized yourself with a topic, right? When you use that word, most people have a negative reaction to it. So I apologize for using that word, but let's just be real. It's true. Many people are ignorant when it comes to handling and being around weapons and the reality of the world that we live in. Most civilians are very ignorant to the evil around them at any given moment. Cops don't have a choice because they have to face that all the time. You know, they see these terrible incidents and deal with these people who do terrible things all the time. So they're very fully, you know, well aware of what's out there. But many civilians are ignorant to that reality. And it's not their fault. It's just, you know, the longer that I'm out of law enforcement, the easier it is for me to ignore that reality. Recently, I've found myself leaving home without my gun, you know, a short trip, you know, a small errand in town, whatever it is, not really planning on being around a lot of people or in a soft target. I'll leave my gun at home. I've caught myself doing that, and I don't like that because it's evidence that I am getting lazy and ignoring the truth that I know about the world that we live in, and that is that it's a dirty and dangerous place. Now, if you've been listening to this show for very long, you know I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a conspiracist. I'm pretty honest about my take on things, and I don't try to fluff things up or anything like that. I'm not trying to scare anybody. There are tons of really good people in this world doing a lot of great things, right? Nothing that I'm saying here discounts that. Those two things are not mutually exclusive, right? There's a lot of good people doing great things, and I think that's the majority of our society. Whether you're making a huge impact and really loving on and helping people every day, or you're just going to work, doing your thing, providing for you or your family and going home, those are great things. And the majority of our society, you know, fall into those categories, but there is a small segment of our society that is responsible for the majority of the bad things that happen to the people within that society. That is just reality. So the question that I think we all should ask ourselves now and periodically in the future is, am I prepared and willing to face that evil? Should it present itself? Should it show its face to me to protect myself, to protect my family, to protect those around me? Am I capable of doing that? Whether it's technical proficiency or mental willingness to do that. Am I capable? Am I willing? That is the question that you have to answer. Whether you're a civilian or you're looking to get into law enforcement, if you can't answer that question, you are not prepared for the world that you have no choice but to live in. All right, that's a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. Thanks for joining. Again, the show is still here. I'm still ticking on this side of the mic. And the more questions you, my listeners, ask, and the more interaction I have, the easier it will be for me to keep shows coming. And I'll be honest, I don't have a show ready for next week. I like to have a couple, you know, on deck, ready to go. And I did until last week when those ran out and I was too busy to get one done. So I'd love to hear from you. If you have comments, questions, concerns, gripes, bunched up britches, or complaints, you can reach me on Twitter. It's at Police Academy PC, or through email, policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't written a review, I'd love to hear from you. I don't have one to read today because I've read them all. So go write a review. You might be the next one to get yours read on the show. And that is all. Are you prepared for the world that you have no choice but to live in? We'll see y'all next time. Do good, be strong, fear nothing. This is Police Academy.